So, man, Carlos Jimenez, one thing I like doing with some of my friends, I got my buddy Ricky Tercios, won the Ultimate Fighter. We were looking back at some of those old amateur fight cards just for fun, and who pops up on the list? Carlos Jimenez. This is like a decade ago. And, man, this guy's been fighting for so long. I know he did take a pretty big break in between his amateur and pro career. But it's awesome to see him at it. You know, he's got a good record. He always fights his butt off.
Yo, welcome back to another episode of Texas Underground. I am your host, Jay Vaz. And as always, this show is brought to you by La Conecta. Make sure you check them out at shoplaconecta.com. They got the air fresheners. They got the stickers. They got the cut energy drinks. Para que andes al 100. They got the rolling trays for anybody out there that, you know, need it for their smoking supplies. Fuzzy dyes. Can the camera see this? No, they can't. And then they got all kind of custom air fresheners for you guys as well. So make sure you check them out at shoplaconecta.com. Also brought to you by GT Digital Distribution. If you're an independent artist looking to take your music to the next level, make sure you check them out at gtdigitaldistribution.com, and they'll help you take your music there. Joining us today, man, I was looking forward to this one because I mentioned on Facebook, not only do I know this guy since we were like, what, fucking fifth or sixth grade? I can't remember when y'all came to Waller.
Sixth grade.
Something like that. It's fifth or sixth grade. And you know, it's cool to sit down. But like I said, it's kind of weird because I know you. So it's like, is this really an interview or yeah, we're just catching up? Joining me today, man, MMA fighter coming out of Fury with a 5-1 record. He trains out of 4-ounce club. Carlos Jimenez. What's up, bro?
Throw the 4 out for everyone four out there.
How you feeling, bro?
I'm feeling good, man. I just got off this 12-hour shift, so.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, it's one of them, what we talk about, you know, like the struggle of following dreams and shit. Sometimes I wish I didn't have dreams so I can just be normal and not have to do all this extra shit. But it's dope to be able to do both things. As I mentioned, man, I've been on you for a while, for a long time. If whoever follows me from my music on my YouTube channel, me and your brother, Cyrus, just, you know, we did music way back in the day. And I mean, we went to school together. I would say we graduated together, but nah. I'm still trying to get my diploma, but that's neither here or there. But man, let's jump right into it, bro. One of the things that I always wondered when I saw you started getting into MMA was what sparked that interest to jump into MMA?
As my pro career or as an amateur? Because as a pro, my kids, they're like, why are you training? All my kids are older now. I have a 9-year-old. Why you keep on training and you don't fight? They see all the fights and then they would just ask me, when are you going to fight? When are you going to fight? I'll take them to go train with me, work out with all my teammates at 4-ounce. And they're like, when are you going to fight? So yeah. That's what made me like, you know what? Y'all want me to fight? I'll do it.
Yeah.
My wife, she was kind of like, behind me. But and then she's like, fuck, if you want to do it, why don't you fight?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I actually do. Let's do it.
And it's funny because, again, going back to sixth grade, seventh grade, whatever, y'all motherfuckers like to fight for no reason back then. To fast forward now, yeah, it's like, okay, now you got a reason. You know, legally, you can't get into trouble for this shit now.
Yeah.
Obviously, like I said, you guys like to get into fights back in the day. But what was it before MMA? What was like your goal? What was your mindset at? What were you trying to be?
I was just trying to make it for my family. You know, everyone knows I had a kid at a young age, so I was a hustler, man. He's the one that made me a man, so I had to get it. And what made me... I want to ask the question again. God damn. Oh, shit.
No, I was saying, like, what was it that you wanted to be before, you know, becoming an MMA fighter?
I always wanted to be what I am now. I'm a mechanic, so I always grew up wanting to be a mechanic. I don't know why. I do know why, because we grew up in the paint and body shop industry, and I was just like, I always wanted to prove everyone wrong that I can be a mechanic. You know, my dad or actually my grandpa had a doubt. Like, nah, they just wanted me to do better, like go to college or whatever. But like, nah, I can be a mechanic. And they're like, nah, you ain't going to be that good. And I'm pretty decent, yeah, you know, and that's what I do. I wanted to be a mechanic. I never thought I would be a professional fighter. So, until, you know, like my kids, they just bugging and bugging. I'm like, fuck it. Y'all want me to fight? I'll do it.
Yeah.
So I just went ahead and went with it, you know, and I'm doing good right now. People hate on my style and just talk shit about it. But, hey, I'm 36 years young, not old. So yeah. I still got a long ways to go.
Ain't it crazy? As we get older, when we were younger, we thought like the 35, getting close to 40 is like we're getting old.
Yeah.
But now that we're here, it's like, nah, bro. Like in 30, when you, I feel now that when you turn into your 30s, you're barely getting your shit together. Yeah.
Yes.
Like the 20s, you're still trying to figure life out, trying to figure out what exactly you want to do. And life is really out of control because for the most case, when you turn 18, you're basically considered an adult and don't really know what the fuck you're doing. But yeah, now, 36, you know, prime time, man. I say that because I'm 35, so. So if you're young, I'm young.
I feel good. I mean.
Growing up, man, you're from Houston,
mm-hmm.
north side of Houston, right?
Yes, sir.
What was that like growing up out here in Houston, man?
It was tough, man. Getting bullied at a young age, going down Hardy Street, people taking my bikes, you know. I always had to fight, you know. So Moody Park, same thing. You get jumped by the people from Irvington Court. You had to get it.
Yeah.
If you weren't about it, you weren't going to make it out there in them streets, man. That, talking about, oh, streets this, street that, no. They're gonna test you.
Yeah,
you have to. We grew up tough, you know. They used to beat the shit out of me and my brother, and then we finally put our two together. We were jumping, motherfuckers, just to make it. You know, we were a little small, little scrawny, little things.
Yeah,
right, so.
Yeah. My uncles were skinny as hell, boy.
Skinny as hell, boy.
Yeah. One of the patterns that I've seen, and I don't know if this is by default or something, but you fight twice a year. Is that something that's...
I try to get three in. It all depends on my schedule, so... I'm going to try to do three this year. I'm already at two. Back in May, I had a little slight injury. Put me back a little bit, but I'm hoping, and I'm thinking, God willingly, I'll fight in maybe November.
November?
Yeah, so I'll be my third this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of fighting... What's that preparation like for an MMA fighter, for yourself? Like, what's that preparation like to get your mind right and your body right going into a fight?
My mind is always right. 90% of the time is all mental. If you're mentally broken, you're not gonna make it into the fighting game. I always get asked that, so I'm always prepared. I'm always prepared for a battle. Do I study my guy? I have these past three fights. The ones before that, I just go in there freestyling, trying to fight, and it backfired on me. That's how I got my loss, but I think that's going to come up later on, right? But I prepare. It's tough, man. Like, from cutting weight, a lot of people don't know this. I won't let y'all know how much weight I cut, but I quite a bit of weight. So, but, man, just got to eat right. Train right, and your mind. My mind's always right. If I feel like my mind isn't right, I'm not gonna take the fight. I'm not gonna even be in fight camp.
Yeah,
I'm 100% in it, and my family backs me up. My wife, my kids, my brother, everyone. We in the deep, and that's, they know. Hey, Carlos is in fight camp. Don't fuck with him.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Is cutting weight the hardest part of camp, or what is the hardest part of camp? And if it is, what's the process like to cut weight? Like, what exactly do you cut out of your daily meals and stuff like that?
Man, cutting weight is not the hard part for me. I think my scheduling with work, because, you know, I got a full-time job and the fighting. So that's where it comes in at, like, the hard part for me. Cutting weight, at the end, those last 10 pounds...
Yeah,
those are the tough ones, and you gotta be mentally there. You, some people mentally break, man. And like, if you think negative, it will turn out negative. I fucking promise you that.
So, yeah,
yeah. That's 90% mental, man.
90%. Like, what's the process like of cutting weight, bro? Like, what exactly do you stop eating? Is there a calorie deficit that you stick to, or how does that go?
Man, I just cut out all the fried foods. No fast food restaurants. Man, my diet's a little... I don't want to tell everyone my diet, but I do still eat tortillas de harina.
Gotcha.
It ain't the four. I eat like two, maybe. But yeah, I had the water weight. So those last 10 pounds, I cut the water weight out.
Yeah.
So I overload, like two gallons throughout the whole time I'm training. That's my at least 2 gallons. That's what I do. And then towards the end, I start winding down on like a gallon. Fight like the last 2 or 3 days, I'm like at like a gallon and a half, a gallon. It depends on where my weight is. It all depends on where I'm at, how much training, how hard did I go on my training sessions, you know? Did I cheat myself? You know, stuff like that. The people don't know all that. If you cheat yourself, you it's going to be harder on you.
Yeah.
Might as well just go hard and be honest with yourself, you know?
That's it.
Man,
something you mentioned earlier was you used to not really prepare for your fight. You didn't study your fighters. Yeah. Why? Was it like you weren't really taking it serious at first, or it was more of a just your confidence level was high enough to not?
So, my people that are gonna see this and criticize me, or they know who they are. I was a lot arrogant. I was cocky. I went in there and I knocked the number one prospect, and he's actually going to fight in the contender series. I knocked his ass out in 13 seconds. Remember that, too.
Long layoff for Jimenez. Very, very active Smotherman. This is going to be fun.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, he stopped him. He got it.
CJ,
it's over.
Wow.
Because he's talking a lot of shit about me right now. But I won't even say his name. He knows who he is. 13 seconds, you look up my shit, I knocked his punk ass out. But I was a little cocky.
Yeah.
So then I fought his teammate. And guess what? Yeah, his teammate put me to sleep. That was my first loss. You know, my second fight, my professional fight. He put me to sleep. I whooped the shit out that dude. But he put me to sleep. And, you know, that's what humbled me.
Yeah.
But I was in there cocky. Like, and that's why I was like, I ain't got to study that boy. Like, nah, And it now is like, all right, regardless if they're good or not, I'm going to look at them. I'm going to kind of study them a little bit. And then I let my coaches handle the rest.
Yeah.
We'll focus on what he's doing, dropping his hands, what you need to do here, whatever it is. And that's when we're getting better as a team. So,
yeah.
And eventually I think I'll make it to the – either to the contenders or I'll just make it straight into the UFC. It all depends. I have a certain goal I'm trying to reach with Fury, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Let me ask you this though. Before we get into your first loss, you did say your first win was 13 seconds. What was that like, man? What was that feeling of your first win, especially since you said the dude was talking shit and you come in here and finish in 13 seconds? What was that like?
It was so real. I get that feeling right now, the numbness, because it was like, this is the guy y'all didn't want me to fight. Like, even people on my own team, I only had a few people that know me were like, all right, Carlos could probably fuck this dude up. But like, some of my people were like, nah, it ain't a good fight. And I'm like, this is the motherfucker that y'all were saying I shouldn't fight? I'm like, nah. I said, this dude, he's young. So I already knew, like, what I try to explain to these people that are coming up, like these younger guys, like I've lost it. I lost everything. So you can't take nothing from me that I haven't lost, you know? I've hit rock bottom twice in my lifespan, you know? So there's nothing that they're going to mentally break me or anything like that. I don't know how to explain it to anyone. They think they can, they're not going to break me. Like this last kid I just fought in May, he like just gave me this look, like I guess like a mean mug, you know, and try to like intimidate me and scare me, and it flipped that switch on me, cause like I was like, dude, you're not gonna do that to me, like that's little kid shit, or I don't know how to, you're not my bully, you know, you're not gonna bully me, bro. There's no way. I've already, you can't fuck with my mindset, man. I'm ready. Like there's no beating that, and that's where I stand with that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess one of the upside things that you said you lost your only loss was on your second fight, and I guess that's cool to get that first loss out the way instead of like, let's say you went on a four fight win streak and then you handle that loss and it's like, fuck, I thought I was hot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But what was that like with taking your first loss and how did you handle it?
I took it pretty hard, but I learned from it, you know. So I learned from it, and I noticed that I'm not the best thing in my mind, you know. I still have a lot to work on, and I just been working on myself and just working on things. And people will always criticize what I learned, so I take the constructive criticism and I run with it.
Yeah.
And the doubt, if you doubt me, I will feed off of that. That's what I do. It's just, yeah. That's how I end things. I feed off of doubt. So,
we mentioned you train out of 4 ounce club. Who you in there training with, bro? And how did that connection with 4 ounce come about?
So 4 ounce fight club, man. It's owned by my good buddy I grew up with, Daniel Pineda. So he's the one that got me in there, and I train with a lot of people. I got a certain circle that I deal with. They train with me all the time. They support me, and it's all of them. There's too many to name drop, but number one person I train with the hardest is Cyrus Jimenez, my brother, Dakota Hope, Jonathan Rand, the gentleman, Alden. They're all like Jose Mercado. There's a whole bunch of them. Daniel Pineda, all kinds, man. Hector Sainz. It's so many of them to name. I ain't come prepared for that, but it's a lot of them. And the ones that are trying to help me now, I appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone that helps me out, man.
Yeah. Earlier you mentioned that, first shout out to Cyrus and Daniel, but you mentioned that people hate it on your style or hate on your style of fighting. Yeah. What would you consider your style? And why are they hate? Like, why the hate for it?
I consider myself like a freestyle fighter, man. My head movement, I guess, my hands. I don't really know what they hate on. They some people think I'm not a stand-up guy. Some people say I am a stand-up guy. Some people say I'm good at wrestling. Some people, it's just whatever people think. But I feel like I'm a good freestyle fighter, man. The fight starts standing up, so. Of course, I need to have some type of, you know, striking, yeah. and I feel that I can hold my own.
Yeah,
I want to fight a actual black belt in jiu-jitsu, you know, since they're like, oh, you're just a blue belt, you know, whatever. And those are the rankings, you know, blue belt is lower for the people that don't know. But so I ain't shit in the grappling world compared to a black belt, but I hold my own. I've rolled with a few black belts and. And, you know, they don't tap me or submit me or however you want to say, but it just, I don't know. I feel well-rounded, man. I'm a freestyle fighter, so we can go wherever. And like I said, they just talk so much shit. And there's always going to be people talking
always,
shit, man.
There's always somebody got something to say. Ideally, what do you prefer? Do you prefer to have a, you know, have a fight standing up or do you rather take it to the ground?
I'd rather take it to the ground because I feel like if I get control of you, it's you're done. Because if I feel that I can control you for more than a minute or 30 seconds, then I'm like, okay, if I'm holding this guy for 30 seconds, control my breathing, get him down, and just listen to my corner. That's something I need to work on more is listening to my corner. They say I listen very well. I feel that I don't, but... here lately, I've been listening pretty well. That's how I won my last two fights by listening. That's, my mom used to always say, "Listen, listen, listen." So, shit.
At some point, I started listening. Is there a favorite strike or submission that you like to shoot for? You know, during your fights.
Some people think it's gay. I'll try to land a Superman punch and just fucking. Or a favorite submission is Man, I like to do land a darce in a fight and see how that goes.
Yeah. All right. So talking about the way people hate on your style, and then you know your first two opponents that you said you know were talking all that shit and whatnot. I guess you kind of lose respect for them at that point. But how did you feel about your last opponent, and how did you feel going into the fight and then after the fight? Because I feel like sometimes after the fight, I see a lot of these MMA fighters that kind of change their perspective on people or gain some respect just because of their toughness. Was that the case with your last opponent?
No, that was not the case with him. I was supposed to finish him at least first minute or something in the first round, I believe, because he was on no level of mine at all. Like, a lot of people don't talk about the injuries, man. I'll tell you straight up, I had a really bad injury going into that fight back in May, and I'm just like, all right, I'm going to pull. And then, I'm not going to pull out. it's just a going back and forth, and then just take your training lightly, which, you, like I told you earlier, you have to go hard in training. So yeah. I would try to go hard, and it's like, all right, I got to cripple this a little bit, you know, use crutches, you know, whatever my training. And it's not how I train. So I went into the fight pretty hurt, and it was to the point where I was like, look, this motherfucker beats me. I don't know what I'm gonna fucking quit or something. You know, I just, you know, quit's not in my vocabulary, but it's just like, that's how bad my injury was.
Yeah.
And I'm better now, and I'm just going through rehab and everything with my injury, but I should have finished that guy in the first round.
Yeah.
I finished him in the second round, triangle choke, but...
His opponent, Jimenez.
Carlos looking for that triangle. He's fighting the wrist. If he can figure for his legs, he's going to have a real solid chance of finishing this fight.
The downside of driving that pressure and trying to stack your opponent is you're driving yourself into these submission attacks, and it looks like Jimenez is starting to lock it up.
I mean, he's got to get that figure four. Can be tighter. He's cinching it up. He's got the angle. I think we're going to see a tap here. I mean, this is deep. This is deep. Oh, man. Lopez looking to find some space. I don't think he found it. Now he's swept in the mount, getting beat up.
Landing some elbows now, looking to finish here in this mounted triangle position.
Quitting Lopez, though.
Yeah, Lopez in a bad spot here.
Oh, man. Oh, my. Then there's the tap. Oh, wow.
He did eat some of my punches, but like I said, I wasn't planning properly, nothing. So, I mean, I do have some respect for him. I have respect for all my opponents. They respect me. So anyone that's going to listen to this, if you respect me, I respect you. If you're still talking shit, I'm you on my shit list.
Yeah,
especially if I beat you in 13 seconds, buddy.
He said, buddy.
Yes, sir.
As far as the injuries go, though, like, you know, being that you, like you said, you do have your regular job, and you mentioned working 12 hours. How do you handle injuries? Because I mean, just being at work for 12 hours is bad enough, especially with an injury, and then having to go train. How do you take care of your body for situations like that?
Lots of vitamins, supplements, and babying the shit out of it through work, man. You know, I am a diesel mechanic, so it's heavy equipment, you know, heavy work. So, and just pray, pray.
Pray nothing goes wrong.
And just take care of it, man. I mean, a lot of it goes with the mental part of it. You know, you think, estoy enfermo, you know, I'm sick, you know, or I'm hurt. You're always going to be, you know, babying that one injury. Just kind of block it out and just... Go upon my day, and that's how I get through them.
All right, so with you having your personal life and obviously in the fighting world, bro, like myself doing that, I do the podcast, it's really hard that to sometimes get my mind off this shit in a way of, like, I really don't know how to get away from it, because when I hang out with my normal friends, that was when they asked me about the podcast.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm hanging out with y'all because I don't want to know about the podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, that just comes with it. But as far as you go, what is it? What's your routine like to get your mind off of this, you know, MMA world and just kind of remember, I'm just Carlos. This is my family. Yeah. And the ring is not in the picture right now. What's that like?
I think the only time I cancel it out or channel it out is when I'm with my wife, because my kids are all into MMA. All the people I associate with, which is very little people, they're all MMA fighters, or they train, or they like the sport. So I really don't channel that out unless I'm with my wife. Shout out to my wife. She does all my dieting, all my meals, all my lunches, make sure I'm not drinking sodas, drinking too much beer, whatever it is, like when I'm off my fight camp. So
yeah,
so I really don't channel that out.
It's just part of you now.
Just me every time. Like that's all I think about. Like I don't know. A lot of people are like, hey, do you like MMA? I'm like, nah, I love that shit. Like I love to fight. I love it. It's not nothing about liking it. I just love to fight.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, but I mean, that's me. So.
Yeah. And like I said, me, sometimes I get tired of this shit.
Yeah.
I get tired of talking about it. I get tired of doing the interviews.
Yeah.
And it's like this year I took a whole, from January to this, January to June, to July. So I took, what, 6 months off just because I was tired of it. I wanted to get away from it. But the only bad part of that is once you get away from that long, that shit starts to hit in your head like, do I really need to be doing this?
Yeah.
Like I told you, I was like, maybe I just need to cut this shit off and go about my business doing something else. But I get tired of it. I'm like, I get tired of it. We mentioned you're with Fury. Did you get started off with Fury or how did you end up with that organization?
Yeah, I've been with Fury the whole time, even my amateur. It was Garcia Promotions. And I think my record was 5-3 as an amateur. And I won their bantamweight belt, amateur belt. That's probably one of my goals is maybe to win a Fury belt, pro,
yeah.
You know, bantamweight championship belt. That'd probably be good.
What is that looking like right now? Like, what was the rankings like? And
I mean, the rankings. I don't even know my rankings. I don't really kind of. It's kind of sad to say. I don't really look at my rankings like that. But like I said, I've beat some big names. Well, not big names, but I beat some people, some prospects. That are, you know, one's in a contender this August, and one of the guys I beat, he got kicked out of the Ultimate Fighter house because of fucking McGregor. But that's another story. But I mean, I feel, I don't know.
I don't know. Ideally, what would be your dream fight to say, like, man, this is a fight that I was looking for or a fight that I would like? Obviously, the championship one, yeah. But with who?
Man, I don't really have anyone. Eric Garcia, the owner of Fury, he knows anyone he puts in front of me, I'm going to try my best to give everyone a good show and beat the shit out of him. I promise you they're not going to leave clean unless they fucking knock me out in like 5 seconds or something, yeah. You know, and I barely didn't even touch him, you know, so. But I don't really have anyone that I can think of. Just dream fight, don't have one.
Yeah.
Anyone.
Who's your favorite fighter?
One of my favorite fighters, or I got quite a bit of them.
Give me your top five favorite fighters.
Top five. Let's go. Jose Aldo.
Aldo, yeah.
Conor McGregor. He's I like him. He's a shit talker. Derek Lewis. He's my favorite, man. That's three. Rafa, he trains with us. In the UFC, where he was in the UFC, and then Daniel Pineda.
Yeah.
So those are my top five, man. So
that's dope. As far as your next fight, yes, I know you said you're healing from an injury right now, but is there like a set date to where you think you'll be good, and when could we possibly have your next fight?
I'll be good in September, but my daughter's quinceañera is September 23rd, so. I don't want to do any fight camps. That quinceañera's taking a toll on us, man.
That's
on me,
a meeting of its own.
I'm going to say October or November, I should be ready, like a set in stone fight.
Yeah.
But no, I'll be ready in September for sure, but I got to.
Yeah.
Like I said, you got to be 90% mental into it, and my mind right now is on the quinceañera.
So. You did mention that your injury that you're dealing with, or that happened back in May, was pretty serious. Like, moving forward from that injury, is that something that's kind of like gonna bother you, like to think it might happen again? And did this injury happen during camp, or was this like during a fight?
It tweaked in camp. But it happened. It screwed up. It fucked up in the damn fight, like an actual fight. You go back and look at the fight. I don't remember the minutes or whatever. But I had him on the ground, and I kicked him, and I just started. I backed off.
Yeah,
it hurt me pretty bad. And but yeah,
yeah.
It moving forward. I think.
What was the injury? Can you talk about it?
It was my knee.
Your knee.
My knee. Moving forward, just with therapy, man, and just rehabbing it, it's good. I just got to make it stronger. There's no tears. We did MRIs, two MRIs, because I just didn't believe the first one. Like, there's no way. It has to be something torn, which there's nothing torn. So
yeah,
I'm grateful for. I'm not complaining about that. Yeah. So, but yeah.
Yeah, there was a fight that I saw. Speaking of knees, I believe you were on the ground, And then I don't know what the hell you did or how the fuck you did it, but you, I don't even know how to explain it. I'm trying to clip the video and put it on here if I can find it on YouTube, but you might know what I'm talking about. The guy's leg was like this, and then somehow you ended up getting his leg like in a leg bar or whatever the fuck is
called.
Yeah.
Rolling for a knee bar here. Oh, wow. Crazy transition.
Yeah, I was, so that guy, he was tough, man. Ryland, he rocked me pretty good. Like, he shut me down. Like, if you watch the fight, he dropped me for a bad weight cut, and he hits hard, so. But, yeah, I went for a knee bar because I was still trying to come to, and I don't know what my corner was yelling for, but I've never did any leg submissions or anything like that. I know them, but I don't work them. So I went and looked at my corner, and they're like, go for it, go for it. I'm like, man, are you serious, man? I'm looking over at them. I'm like, all right. So I went for it. And I landed it, but the bell saved them. I think he would have tapped if I had a few more seconds. But I ended up knocking him, TKOing him in the second round. So
yeah,
tough guy. He's one of the number one prospects that I think is going to come up.
Come on. Which one has been your favorite fight so far out of the six fights?
His, Ryland. Yeah, that's my favorite fight right there. Just because, same thing. So I had a couple doubters, and then they're like, well, he's young. He's barely starting. And I'm like, but shit, he trains with Dustin Poirier, so.
Yeah.
He comes out of Louisiana, so he's legit, man. There's nothing to complain about him. I mean, I wanted him more that night. You know, that's just how I came out with the win.
Man, I know you've mentioned a couple of times that most of this shit is all mental. What's going through your mind as soon as that bell rings? Like, what are you feeding off of at that time as soon as the bell goes off?
Oh, man, just straight instinct. I guess I'm feeding off of that. It's our motto at 4 Ounce Fight Club is kill or be killed. And that's how you got to set your mind. And
yeah.
That's my crazy ass. I've always been like that. So I fell in love with that motto, kill or be killed, man. So you gotta always have, I had a, when I did have a boxing coach, he always told me, you gotta be first and be last. I never understood that till now. So you gotta be first and be last.
Fucking Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
I still don't get it. What does that mean? What does that mean? No, I'm serious. What does it mean? Because obviously you gotta be first or last. Like, yeah. But what are you talking?
Yeah, I'm like, but now I get it, you know. So you gotta touch them first and make sure you're touching them last. You gotta get in between.
Gotcha.
So once you touch them, that's it.
Yeah. Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah. Cause I was like, wait, that's a fucking reference from Ricky Bobby, bro. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, you gotta touch them first.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, your record right now is 5-1. You do say you know people are telling you you're up in age. You're only 36. What's the ultimate goal besides, you know, obviously getting a championship fight? But what's the ultimate goal right now?
Right now, is just keep on winning. My goal now, I just like the feeling of finishing someone. So I'm gonna try to finish them, like, every fight. So anyone signs that contract, just know that we're gonna go till I finish you,
yeah,
or you finish me. But that ain't the way I think. So I'm gonna finish them. That's my goal. Once I get this, hopefully, you know, I get the championship fight. Or I get a last minute call. They're like, "Oh wait, this guy's, you know, 6-1," or "Hey, this guy's 7-1. Let's get him a quick fight in the UFC." You know, they'll be like, "Hey, come on."
Yeah.
And we'll talk to my coaches, and I'm sure they'll be like, "Yeah, fuck it, go." Because I'm gonna fight. I'm gonna go.
Speaking of UFC, what's that process like? Being that you are with Fury right now, what is that process like to go into UFC, or how does that work?
I have a 4-fight contract with Fury. I think I have 3 left in the contract, or 2. Maybe 2. I got to look back at it. But if the UFC was, let's say, I fight in November and I win, if the Fury calls me, I mean, if UFC calls me, then Fury will allow me to go.
Basically be under contract with two of them? Like, you still have to fulfill the...
I think it'll avoid the contract with Fury, because that's his ultimate goal, is for Fury to get you to the UFC.
Gotcha.
So that's like a stepping stone to get there.
So. Oh, okay. So it avoids that. Okay, I was thinking it would be like just to have a fight with us, but you can go fight in the UFC, but you have to come back and finish your contract with us type shit.
Yeah, no, I'll always have a home of fury. I always have a home of fury. If let's say they do call me last minute, oh, we're going to give you a one-fight contract, and I lose in the UFC, right? I'll still have a home of fury. They'll be like, hey, fucking Carlos, come on.
Come back, yeah. Yep. Yeah, earlier you mentioned, I can't remember if it was off camera or on camera, that you know you were happy about your 5-1 record, and because you say you didn't think you were gonna come this far.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that? Did you think it was just gonna be? Because obviously, like you say, your kids are the ones that pushed you into it. But what was your mindset starting off fight one?
I don't know. It just I went with the flow. So and kind of like I do in fights, when you asked earlier about. I don't study the people that I'm fighting. I try to adapt to them, and which I do. I adapt to any kind of situation. That's just how I've always grown up to. So just adapting to it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, shit, bro. Hey, first of all, I just want to say I appreciate your time. Appreciate you stopping by today. And I haven't made it out to one of your fights yet. Every time I try to get a table, everybody backs out. But I will make it to the next one. You know, I just got to figure it out with these motherfuckers. End up not going with me, but we'll be out there next time. And again, make sure you guys check out Carlos Jimenez. You can find some of his fights on YouTube. But more importantly, you can check him out whenever his next fight, which hopefully be at the end of the year, which will be your third fight this year. Do you have any social media where people can follow you besides Facebook?
Instagram, CJ Jimenez, I think it's the same as the Facebook. I don't know why they switched my name like that. I'm Carlos Jimenez, but they're like CJ Jimenez, and some of the fights you can find them on UFC Fight Pass if someone has
UFC Fight Pass. Okay,
UFC Fight Pass. I think 4 of them on there.
Dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny you say that about Instagram because I was a year ago. they asked me like, do you keep in touch with Carlos and Cyrus? I was like, man, I keep in touch with one of them. I said, I don't know which one it is, but it says C. Jimenez. I'm like, it could be Cyrus or Carlos.
I think that was mine. They switched my name, so.
Cool, cool. Nah, but shit, once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is my boy Carlos Jimenez. Make sure you check him out on Instagram. Check him out on UFC
Fight Pass.
And again, 5-1 record coming out of 4-Ounce Club out here in Houston, Texas. Appreciate your time, brother.
Yes, sir. Like, damn.